Hello, hello. We are back for episode number 9 of Just Another Magnet Monday podcast. This is Molly Pat Eystone with Marketing and Communications at Stormont Vail Health. I'm, of course, here with Chief Nursing Officer Carol Perry.
Hi, Molly. 9 episode.
Number 9.
That's awesome.
We only have 1 week left after today. It's crazy.
I know. That's exciting.
Yes, it has been great. Josh Brewer is also here with us for today's episode. We're going to be talking about leadership visibility.
I'm excited to be here.
So before we get started, Josh, we always start by asking you to tell us about yourself, what you do at Stormont Vail, and what people should know about you.
I've been with Stormont for 7 years now. I started as a medical assistant and worked my way up to an LPN, an RN, to the position I am now.
And why do you love nursing as a profession?
For the nursing aspect of it, of helping people, but then as the leadership aspect of it, to be able to help the team create a better environment to help all serve more people, help more people out that way.
Can you talk about your road as to where you started to where you are now?
So I started off as a what's called a PCT in the emergency room here at Stormont Vail, and I did that for a couple years while I was going to school for my LPN. As I got my LPN, I would transition over to the ambulatory side, to the clinic side, and was a float nurse for 3 years while I got my RN. I really thoroughly enjoyed the float side, getting to know all aspects of all the clinics and the different processes and leadership styles within all of the different variety of clinics and areas.
Carol, let's just jump right into what or who a leader is, and then what is a transformational leader?
So when I think of leader and, you know, getting to hear Josh talk, Josh is a natural leader because what he said is that he wanted to get to know people. He loves the clinical side, so he knows what staff are doing and what they've gone through day in and day out to do their roles. But now he's in a position to where he also wants to create an environment where they can do their roles in the most efficient and effective way. And to me, that's a role that he is in because he has the desire to improve the environment. And then transformational leadership is different for each and every one of us. And I think that Josh also is a perfect example of transformational leadership because he is flexible in that he has just returned back to the main Stormont campus from taking a role to help the Flint Hills campus, which we're newly embarking on our new Flint Hills campus. But Josh was asked out of everyone to go help transform that to become a Stormont Vail campus in the ambulatory environment. And I think that that is based upon his leadership skills and based upon his ability to understand the frontline role also. And that comes when you're a PCT, when you go through an LPN role. And the LPN role in the ambulatory environment is really the nurse leader. It's a licensed person running the calls that are coming in and managing the care within a practice area. And so I think that Josh being the expert at that and then also advancing his education, he's got both sides of the clinical aspect and then transforming to a leadership role. And Josh can do whatever Josh wants to do because people have great faith in him. And, you know, when you're asked to take a position that no one's done, then people see a lot of skills in his leadership ability and have a confidence and trust in what he will do that's best for patients.
I agree. And Josh, do you think that the role of a leader in your experience transitioning into a role that has not been done before, you were kind of creating it, how has your leadership changed throughout that, or has it?
I would say it has changed at minimum a little bit, if not significantly, just in the aspect of Flint Hills was previously a paper charting aspect, which I was not familiar with. And digging into and creating that mindset of where they currently are at with the paper charting and then transitioning over to the Epic system, which is a huge task in of itself, kind of helped guide my leadership of more of the listening and empathetic aspect of a leader, not so much as the nursing aspect of it, because we all have that empathetic side for the nursing aspect of it, but you also need it in the leadership aspect of it. Helped to guide where they were going and where they're coming from and understanding where they're coming from. The transformational side of it, like Carol said, with the learning and knowing all the different roles and being able to collaborate with all the different entities or teams that went over to Flint Hills campus and over here at Topeka is a huge part of the transformational leadership.
Absolutely. So why do you choose to lead? Why do you want to be a leader, and why do you continue to lead?
I enjoy being a resource to everybody. Being afloat, I was always looked at as a resource as well, and I love to learn new processes, new information. If I don't know something, I'm instantly looking to gather that information, and I think that's where everyone always came to me as that resource to ask me all of the questions. It helps guide a standardized care across the board when you have, like Stormont does, the policies in place, the standard work in place, and then to be able to know that information and relay that information kind of helps create that care that we're going to hold across the spectrum of all the clinics and from hospital to clinic side of it. I'd say that's the bigger portion of leading is having that higher standard of care and being that resource to present that with all the team.
Well, that makes sense. And I also think it's important to note that being a leader doesn't mean a title. So let's talk about how clinical nurses can lead without that title as well.
I agree wholeheartedly. Just because somebody does not have a title does not mean that they're not a leader. Leadership is going to come with inspiring others, putting forth your best effort throughout everything, looking at ways to improve workflow, and knowing how to communicate those changes to workflow. Just taking the initiative to work your hardest and put forth the effort and having that positivity is going to create that leadership aspect of it, having people follow you and want to do what you're doing.
I think that as we've gone through these podcasts, I've never been more grateful and proud of the people that I've been able to do the podcasts with. Josh, you are incredible, and I'm very grateful for all you do. And what you say, I agree 100% with. I think from a nursing perspective, leadership in the role of the nurse is the care manager. And really what that means is that there are interdisciplinary professionals, but the role of the nurse is really to pull all the pieces and parts together and then to be able to explain that picture to the patients and families and get all that detail, explain it to providers. The nurse is the one that has all that information, and really people look at the nurse to say, hey, can you tell me what this part of it is, or why are we getting this? And they're being asked a lot of questions that they are the leader of care and management of care. And it is defined not just in our role as nurses, but it is a fact that the entire team looks at the nurse to go to have the detail about the entire picture of the plan of care for the patients. So there's no doubt that nursing and leadership go together based upon regulatory, but also based upon just their curriculum, who they are, and their time with the patient.
And what characteristics do you look for in a leader?
I think Josh nailed it when he said they want to work really hard. They're focused on that detail. They understand that there's more than just what the eye sees. They can probe a little bit more to see there might be more what's going on with the patient and family to give more detail. I'm married to a physician, and he'll say history, history, history. History's everything. And trying to get more detail other than just today, what are you here for in the ambulatory environment, or what brought you to the hospital? There's a lot more detail that can help us deliver a higher level of care than just one reason. And I think that the nurse is usually, and in many cases, the one that will have a lot of ability to get a little bit more from families, from observation, from listening, from looking, to be able to figure out the whole picture that we can treat from a holistic approach instead of just a one complaint approach.
Absolutely. And Josh, what do you look for in your leaders? You are a manager, but you have people who lead you. So what do you look for in higher leadership as well?
I'd say open communication is probably one of the highest topics or most sought after thing for leadership, is having that open and friendly communication. Visibility, being able to connect with somebody, not only just on the phone, but being able to see somebody, even if it's not the visibility of actually seeing them one-on-one, but knowing that you can pick up that telephone and talk to them about whatever it is that you're needing to speak with them about, and being able to reach them. And I think that's one of the bigger things, especially these days, is that visibility is. People want to be able to see their leaders, not just in the historical fashion of somebody's in trouble. So that's why they're here, more so of the, oh, hey, just checking in on you. How are you doing right now? I'd say those are the two biggest things that I look for within leadership, and I feel like the nursing staff are looking for as well.
So not like you're going to the principal's office.
Correct.
So let's talk about the secret sauce behind leadership: visibility, communication, connection. It's really easy to say that we want these things and that we need these things. Talk about doing them, because it is hard to do all of these things at one time along with your own responsibilities.
Absolutely. I think one of the key things that's going to be beneficial and the most helpful currently for the ambulatory side is the restructure with the administration, with having that different levels of the management, the clinic nurse manager like myself, being more so boots on the ground, readily available for the staff, versus having one person doing all of the business side of it, as well as trying to spend that time being present with your staff. With the separation, you have the clinic nurse managers being present, and then the nurse managers are the ones that are doing the business side, the meetings and so forth. So that way it's not taking time away from somebody that should be readily available. I'd say that's one of the bigger aspects that's going to be creating that secret sauce of being visible and being able to communicate with everybody.
Carol, how do you think that nurses best connect with leadership?
I think visible presence. I wrote down, look you in the eye. I do pick up the phone over email, especially when it's an important topic, because I can never articulate my heart in an email like I can in my voice, but it's always better to go see somebody and look them in the eye. If somebody can't look me in the eye, then I know I've missed an opportunity to connect, or something's going on I can't understand, and then I can say, you've got to tell me, because there's something going on here if you can't look me in the eye, because I am somebody. I can remember eyes. I sometimes am not so good at names, but I am really good at faces and eyes, and to me, that's my connection with people. And I think that if we don't have that connection and that trust, then that's a foundational thing that's going to limit us to that oneness between leadership and frontline staff. And if we separate ourselves out from each other, then that's a lose-lose situation. Everybody has a different position, and leadership has to have the trust and that confidence of the frontline staff, or you're going to have to work twice as hard to accomplish what we need, and whether or not everyone knows that we need each other. We need each other to be successful, and the success really goes back to the quality and the patient care that we are able to give. And every single one of us have a story about our family and needing care, and I get my family's care here, and I bet you almost everybody gets their family's care here, and we want the right people ready to go when somebody hits the door that we love, no different than we're taking care of someone's loved one every time a patient hits our door.
Stormont Vale recently had a nursing engagement survey. So what do you think we can learn about leadership connections? You know, we want to be the best, and we are a leader in healthcare, but of course there are challenges. There always will be. And we recognize those. We want to take those head on. So what do you think that we can learn about those leadership connections?
I would say just what you were mentioning, that leadership connections is what we've been talking about this entire time, is that visibility, that communication, that connection that we're having with our team members, and bringing back the fun and the environment also is going to be a key driver. You spend a lot of time here at work. We might as well have a little bit of fun while we're doing it, and being able to relate and have that relationship with all of your team if you're going to be here as much as we are.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're here at work a lot. We're like family at that point. Carol, have you ever been in a formal mentorship? And do you think that mentorship plays into that leadership connection?
Oh, absolutely. And yes, I have been in a formal mentorship a couple different times. So outside the organization, I have mentored other nurses formally. And then, you know, I am a fellow in the American Hospital of Healthcare Execs. And then there's a Kansas chapter of that. And we had mentorship there that I mentored. And then there's master students that I've mentored. But in the organization, I will mentor anyone and have done clinicals components with many of the staff internally, formally and informally. But I think that's the best part here. There are such experts in this organization that a majority of our staff that are advancing their education, they choose people outside their own departments within this organization to use as their mentors, because there are tremendous experts here, far outside myself, that you can use as a mentor and get an incredible school experience and show your knowledge and your research or whatever your project is has been beneficial to academic environments and show that it's excelling in whatever outcomes you need to show.
Have you ever had a mentorship, Josh?
I actually just started for the first time being a mentor to one of the team members with Express Care. So it started about a month ago. It is both a learning experience, I think, for both of us, and I'm excited for the journey that it'll take us down.
Yeah. Do you guys think that there are any barriers to having mentorship in the nursing relationship?
I would say probably one of the biggest barriers, which is going to kind of a twofold part of it, is the time that we can put forth with the staffing that we can put forth. But if we do put forth the efforts of mentoring and or bringing on students with mentoring, is you're going to create that environment to have those team members stay and or come work with us. So if you can have the ability to mentor or take on students, you're only creating a warm, welcoming environment to get that staff to come work in that area.
I couldn't have said that better myself. And I think that that's how we recruit a lot of people, by mentoring or students that do their capstone here. And that's a recruitment tool. And you asked previously a little bit about focus groups and leadership. And Josh was very kind when he talked about leadership, but from a senior leadership perspective, the focus groups and the survey results said that we had kind of gone dark for a bit. And so we really, as a senior leadership group, looked at those survey results, and we know we have some things we want to do to improve. And it's not just presence in the unit, but there was about three themes. It was quality and safety. And there's many, many things that we do that we need to get back in front of people and say, okay, this is what we're doing. Is that value added? And staff already are saying, oh my gosh, yes, and we need to continue to work on those. Second thing was communication, and we've already done a lot on communication, but communication will always be our number one priority to improve, and we have very basic things we can do to continue to improve that, as readback confirm, and frequently seeing people, checking in on people, making sure they're doing okay, looking people in the eye, and those types of things that we've also talked about. The third thing is just having enough staff. And, you know, in the acute care, they talk about ratios. And right now we're at a 1-6 ratio. We don't want to be at that. That's a tough patient load. And then we talk about having enough techs to be able to take some of that load off the licensed staff. And so we're doing a tremendous amount of work trying to get future pipeline coming in. The world as a whole is struggling with workforce. And yet Stormont Bell has the right people to recruit, just like Josh. I'm bringing this back around to what Josh said, is that if you mentor, if you capstone, if you go to high schools and talk, if you have a presence about the why you got into healthcare, we've got to give people a reason to get into healthcare, to love healthcare, and then to have Stormont Bell Health to be their employer of choice. And then that's what makes our environment the best it can be, because we have the right ratios, we have the right team members, we have the people that are committed to the next phase of mentorship. And then really from a leadership perspective, time, we have to figure out how to give people time. It can't be, I need to mentor on top of everything else, because then it's just one more thing to do, and then I have to go back and get caught up on everything else. And from a leadership perspective, we need to talk about that. Your chief nurse would say, I need to figure out how to free Josh up, because there's nothing more important than him having time to mentor somebody. He learns. He wants to be his best because he's trying to mentor someone. And every time I mentor someone, I'm telling you, I want to be very best I can, because I want them to see that, I want them to be confident that Stormont's the place to be. I want to make everybody proud that I'm their chief nurse, and we're at our best, and we need to free people up, and I need to figure out how I can help with that all the way through every level, because we need mentorship to be a priority in this organization, to bring the younger people in, and then succession planning and everything else starts falling into place.
Yeah, and to be excited about being a mentor as well.
It's because, a privilege.
Yeah, if you're excited to do it, then you're going to be a better mentor. And that's important. That goes along perfectly with my next question. What innovative approaches can clinical nurses and leaders use to connect with each other? That goes into what we were saying about time. You know, we need the time to do these things. So what innovative approaches do you think are out there that we can use around challenges and barriers that are present?
We are already 1 foot ahead with this. We do this frequently. We have nursing staff going and coming from both avenues of the hospital and ambulatory side. We've got share staff between all entities, even different specialties, to primary care, to we've had people go help out in the linen department. It's definitely something that everybody should be proud of, the fact that we are all willing to help each other out, to be able to help create that time, to help each other get their jobs done, to work in all avenues and aspects of healthcare, not just within one entity of nursing or linen or housekeeping or anything of that nature.
No, that's important.
I agree.
Yeah. What is your favorite memory as a clinical nurse working with a leader?
I would probably even just keep it to the basics of how helpful everybody is and how open everybody is to questions. A lot of people, my very first thing I tell any new hire or people in the area that I'm working with and in is, I love questions and I expect questions because I'm going to ask questions. And I feel like no matter where you're at within your career, everyone should still be and is probably still asking questions. But the camaraderie, the everybody helping each other out, is probably my favorite memory, or my best memory, just because everybody's so nice and helpful to each other to be able to create the best outcome.
It's so hard to pinpoint when you have it almost every day.
Correct.
Everyone together.
So I'm going to follow Josh here. Thanks, Josh, for the answer. I think that, you know, as a senior vice president and chief nurse, I think sometimes the title can just intimidate people and they'll think, why is she asking that question? Why is she asking that question? And it goes back exactly to what Josh said. I'm going to ask a lot of questions, but it's because I'm trying to learn. I'm listening intently. My mind can be changed. I might think one thing, but somebody can answer a question and I'll go, oh my gosh, I didn't look at it that way. And so when I'm asking questions, it's not because I'm trying to say somebody's right or somebody's wrong or trying to look at it from that way. I ask questions to learn, and it's help me understand type questions. And I think that the organization has such brilliant people that if I'm asking a question, it's because somebody's going to teach me something that's going to give me a little bit more knowledge that when I'm then at a senior leadership table, then I can pass that on. That will help a lot of different people that are looking at different department responsibilities say, oh my goodness, I wouldn't have thought of it that way. And all my information comes from the frontline experts or from the next level of leadership or the next level of leadership. So when I'm asking questions, it's not because I'm questioning anybody. It's because I need that information. Help me understand. Arm me with more information so that we can make better decisions as we move forward.
And Carol, you bring up such a good point. Nobody knows the experience better than you do who experiences it. And so to bring that to your team of leaders makes you a leader with your team.
I agree. Even if it's something that somebody doesn't think I would want to hear or somebody else wants to hear, we need to bring it up. And, you know, I find that people, I don't know how or what, but sometimes people get in their mind something that's not true. And if they didn't bring it up, then they're believing something that happened in a way that wasn't the why behind it at all. Let me give you the detail, how it happened, who asked for it, why we did that. And it brings a whole different light to how you might feel about something. And if they wouldn't have brought it up, then we would have never been able to have an opportunity to talk about it. Now, sometimes you still might not like the answer, but at least you have accurate detail and you're not filling your mind with something that's not true.
And I always tell them, it's not complaining, you're voicing your concerns. I don't ever call it complaining. I always call it voicing your concerns, because if you don't, then leadership doesn't know what the issues are, or what the problems are, or what we can or need to fix, and or your perspective on it, so we can work together and or understand each other better of why we're doing it this way versus that way, or why you feel this way is a better avenue to go down to. So I absolutely wholeheartedly voice concerns all day long and ask those questions all day long.
I'm going to steal that. You're not complaining, you're just voicing your concerns.
And we need to hear it so that we can understand how you're feeling.
That's great. Did I miss anything else that you guys wanted to touch on?
I don't believe so.
No, Josh, I want to thank you. You do follow the basics. You work incredibly hard. You do a great job. People feel like you're there to support them. And you can do whatever you want in this organization. You should consider if you want my job someday.
Well, I greatly appreciate it, and I will also follow up with, Carol is not lying. She will pick up that phone for your phone calls and or to call you. She has called me and answered my phone calls plenty.
And I will any given time, because you are so good at what you do. I'm grateful.
Well, thank you.
Yes, that's one thing we know, is that Carol will answer you. She'll come find you, too. Okay, episode 9 of Just Another Magnet Monday podcast in the books. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Josh. This is fun.
Yeah, episode 10, our last episode of season 1. It's hard to believe it's going to be here next week.
We'll get it done.
Boy, howdy. It's flying by. So next week, we'll be talking about our small moments culture and being braver, smarter, and stronger. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk next Monday.
All right.